on the Big Sports Breakfast. Now it's time to talk rugby.
Well, it's a brand new program. There's plenty to be discussed on, well, Rugby Union 360. Big full circle, isn't it? And it's Rod Kafer, one of the co-hosts, joins us online. G'day, Rod.
Hi, TK.
Yeah, well, this is beautiful fodder for the program, mate. Richard Graham sacked, two matches in. I was saying earlier this morning to Slats, the blokes who appointed him should go with him.
That's very true. There's a fair bit in that. And look, we've already seen some changes up there at the Reds. Rob McCall, former chairman's now gone. And there is talk that a few other people in the front office will go as part of a little bit of a restructuring, as they say. But Richard Graham, fundamentally a very good guy and a nice guy, but has a coaching record that's unenviable. Mm. And I think they just made the move on him, of course, and more to follow.
Speaking to Queensland mates who are involved in it up there, I go, how do you ever get reappointed? They go, well, he's best mates with Daniel Herbert.
They did play rugby at school together. Richard Graham was the first 15 captain.
Yeah.
Herbie played in the team. There is a very tight culture up there in Queensland, as you'd expect, as there is in many organisations where people have come through over the years, right from the school days. But I don't think it was that Daniel Herbert necessarily, his role in reappointing. The reappointment was really a board role, taking the advice, of course, of the management. But it had more to do, I think, with the board. There's some close links in there to the board for Richard Graham. And Richard, as I said, is fundamentally a really great guy, a nice guy. Just couldn't crack it as a coach. And with a winning record at around about 27%, it was certainly after 58 games in charge. I think he'd won 16 in the various different places he'd been in. So that's just not going to cut it in professional sport.
And, Rod, it's a tough message, isn't it, telling a coach that he's lost the players in terms of his voice is not being heard anymore. Mm. That must be very hard to hear.
It is, and coaches know their fate, though. When you sign that dotted line to say you're going to coach a team, you know at some point, the axe is going to fall on you. It's just inevitable. He's had it. He's lasted probably longer than he would have expected, and I think he's handled the move with grace. He's not the sort of guy who's going to throw stones from afar. He probably needs to, obviously get out of that system in Queensland and then ply his trade somewhere else and see if he can have a different outcome with a different group of rugby players.
Rod, I know you love your Brumbies. They've been simply awesome, rounds one and two. Better than even you thought?
They have been. Yeah, they have been better than I thought. I didn't think we'd see them quite as sharp as what they are early in the season. And that, of course, can give you some concern over time as whether they can hold that high level of performance for the sort of 15 games plus three finals games. So there's a bit of water to go under the bridge yet, but they have looked particularly good. I mean, it's a bit of a contrast with the Australian teams at the moment are looking, certainly the Brumbies looking good, a couple of South African teams looking okay. New Zealand teams seem to have this little bit of a slow start to the season, which is not unusual for them, but and particularly not unusual after such a big World Cup year. They would have given all of their All Blacks, and I know they did, a long break and didn't require them in a training until only a couple of weeks ago. 3 weeks before the start of the season. So the All Black guys, the New Zealand team, just a little bit slow off the mark, but expect them to come home late in the season. So the Brumbies have got an opportunity to be a bit of a front runner at the moment, but whether that's going to be the thing that'll lead them in this comp, I'm not sure.
Rod, the post-Checker era at the Waratahs, as people are looking on with interest, how do you see the Tars at the moment?
Tars, there's a bit of a transition that they need to be aware of, not just in Michael Checker and in particular Mario Ledesma, but the forwards coach. And when you lose two people out of an organisation, both who had a heavy influence over the Waratah forward pack. Both of them big, strong personalities and very good at what they do, coaching forward pack. I just look at perhaps the risk for the Waratahs, and it might be around what's happening up front for them. They don't have necessarily a real dominant forward coach. Daryl Gibson, of course, the former Crusaders and West Otago midfielder, and he's obviously a backline specialist. Then they've brought in Cam Blades to look after the forward pack. It'll be a big, big role for him to play this year, and we'll find out really what his coaching capabilities are like on the back of how well the Waratah forward pack performs, because they've lost a few people in there, some of their enforcers like Jacques Potgieter, and because of that, the sort of hard edge might have come off the Tars a little bit. And then they've got to cope with not having Checker and Mario Ledesma hitting him with golf clubs and getting him fired up. It's a big shadow to fill.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll be a big challenge.
We look forward to that. Speaking of challenges, they're calling for you in makeup, mate. It's Rugby 360 tomorrow night, 7:30. It'll take some time, and we'll be watching, mate. Plenty of topics to be discussed.
Thanks, TK. I'm not sure that the 24 hours will be enough for makeup, mate, but we'll make it work.
Good on you, Rod.
Thanks, guys.